Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Michael Jackson. Michael's the Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Transportation. And joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel. Well, Michael, earlier you've expressed a great deal of pride in the speed by which things were accomplished, people were hired, procurements were done. And it almost begs the question about the value of the rules that sometimes seem to prevent that from happening. So I'm curious, as you look back, how you put those two together.
The statute that created the TSA gave us some unique flexibility in managing government. But one of the things we discovered along the way is that there was a lot of flexibility in the way we could do this without those specific grants of authority. And so I think that within DOT, the experience of trying to do things quickly but well has improved our performance and delivery and thinking about how to do our normal work better, faster. And we don't have to sacrifice quality to when we get speed. We have to be able to listen well in our rulemaking processes and just get on with it. Sometimes it's a question of just forcing decisions and getting it done.
Now, Secretary Ridge is faced with the challenge of starting up another new organization. What lessons can you share from your startup of the Transportation Security Administration that may help for the formulation of the Department of Homeland Security?
Well, I think that the country is just tremendously lucky to have Secretary Ridge at the helm of this new department. It's a daunting task, but the president was absolutely right to try to aggregate these assets into one place and then to give to such a capable fella the tools to try to help focus security planning. Secretary Ridge had the benefit of being the Homeland Security Advisor to the President while we went through this process. He was intimately involved in many of the policy issues associated with standing up TSA, and so he knows those lessons, as do a number of the folks on his senior team. So I think that we did have some lessons learned that can be valuable to him. I'm certain that they have internalized some of those already, and they'll face new and unique challenges on their own, which they'll grapple with and manage effectively as well.
Now, the experiences that you've had within the department as TSA has moved over clearly have an effect on how the department gets managed and the culture and personality of the organization that remains within the Department of Transportation. What are some of the lessons learned and impacts of having done the work you've done with TSA now that that has moved over to DHS?
That's exactly right. The experience of managing the stand-up of this 65,000-person organization in a short period of time really galvanized the entire management team of the department around new skill sets and I would say a sort of shared mission of what we're gonna do in life. And so I'm hoping that we can take lessons learned back into the department and focus the same type of intensity, passion, outside the box thinking and rigor at the work that we have. Most importantly for us is this safety mission, which is still the cornerstone mission of transportation, to make sure that planes, trains, trucks, cars, ships on the seas are all moving in a safe manner, that we have the type of regulatory regime and the tools and processes to make sure that safety is our foremost priority.
So what are some of the initiatives that you see in the coming years through the department that will address the very real concerns of safety in our transportation?
I think probably the most important one is trying to reduce highway fatalities. It is a tragic story in the country. Every year we are losing some 42,000 lives and an expense of some $230 billion in highway fatalities and accidents. We can do much better, and we need to bring the sort of moral focus and high purpose and intelligence and intellect that we're bringing to the security issues to this national safety challenge. In California, for example, they have a 91% seatbelt usage rate. In the country at large, it's about 25% of the people who don't use seatbelts. We can try to work this problem through primary seatbelt laws, inducements that will help states put in place the tools to make this work. It doesn't have to be a big brother. We don't have to club people with a stick to make them do the right thing, but we have to put focus and energy into this problem. It's a tremendously important thing for the country.
The department has a unique relationship with many stakeholders, transportation service providers, and certainly is the fact that a lot of these transportation providers are in very tough economic circumstances. Has that had any change on the relationship with the stakeholders that you have from the Department of Transportation? Do you relate with them differently because of the circumstances that they find themselves in today?
Sure. It means that in many cases there is a much more intensive and routine back and forth of what's happening in their businesses so that we can understand that and reflect that into the general policy deliberations in Washington. Whether it's the airline industry or the motor carrier industry or the railroad industry, the maritime world, we have a tremendous number of ongoing relationships, some formal advisory committees that come help us figure out what to do and how to do our work better, and many informal conversations, regulatory actions in which they have an opportunity to address particular policy issues for the department. So it's multiple avenues. Worked routinely. Many times we find points of agreement. Many times we find points of disagreement. But we have to keep whacking away at it and talking routinely, especially in difficult economic times.
What's the department's responsibility for making sure that those difficult economic times do not impact on the ability of the transportation service providers to operate in a safe manner, to tie together the economics and the focus of the department moving forward with safety?
We operate in a deregulated environment for transportation. It is not our job to set prices, routes, and make fundamental business decisions. That's what the free market economy is supposed to do well. It is our job to establish a framework of safety and to make certain that it's being implemented regularly. For example, in the airline industry, we want to make certain that carriers who are facing stresses on the bottom line are putting the safety plans in place. I'll tell you that they have come to us understanding that that's a legitimate concern and said, let us show you how we are separating the budgets and staff and people that have to do this function from these other external influences, and let us show you our programs, and we'll monitor that, evaluate that, work with them to make certain that we are not sacrificing the safety mission in a period of financial stress.
Let me ask that same question and go back to the seatbelt conversation about safety. What's the role of the department, and how do you think about the framework in this context? Some would say that, I mean, you characterize you don't want to be Big Brother, so there's a personal freedom thing. Some would say that safety in the highway might be better off if cars were designed differently, if speeds were slower and the like. So there's a lot of different perspectives on that. How do you navigate where the department comes out in that?
You have to take it like a classic business problem, divide it into the component parts and do what you can with each component in a way that understands that you don't control the whole game, but you are a convener and a vision setter and an assist in doing some of the retail work that has to be done on the ground. So we have a program called Click It or Ticket, which helps law enforcement community enforce seatbelt laws and educate the public about seatbelt laws. The president's budget for 2004, the next fiscal year, includes some significant financial rewards for states who will improve performance, bottom line measurement. Can you get your seatbelt usage up? That's the fundamentally most important thing that will drive the fatality rates down. And we're willing to put money against that when people perform. And if they are willing to pass a primary seatbelt law, which is one of the things that brings seatbelt usage up in a predictable and routine fashion, then we want to be able to give them some support for doing that. If they find another way to get the seatbelt usage up without the primary seatbelt law, we'll give them the support as well. So I think our job is to find multiple tools, work the various problems. Some of them are vehicle problems. Some of them are road design problems. Some of them are seatbelts. Some of it's impaired driving. You have to take each of these complex series of variables and work each one with a different set. I'll give you one real great success story in this. A couple of years back, it was an accepted fact that among different racial groups, there were variable levels of usage of seatbelts. We took that problem on board, began to work it hard, and we were just able to report that gap had narrowed and that race was no longer such an important division in the seatbelt usage issue. So that's a good case of something where we worked a problem by working with specific communities on education and provided some help there and made a difference. So we have a lot more to do here, a lot more to do. There are just so many tragedies that can be avoided avoided if people just buckle up, and we're going to try to help get that message across as much as we can.
I'm curious, Michael, you've had a unique perspective and unique experiences in the last couple of years. What advice would you give to somebody interested in a career in the public sector?
Do it. Go for it. Try it. You don't have to make yourself a lifetime of work in the public sector. I've bounced in and out between public and private, and I think that's a valuable thing. And so I tell young men and women, do something for public service. Do something that's stepping outside of yourself, maybe for a year, for 2 years, for 5 years. You may find you stay your whole career in it, but it could be working for nonprofits. It could be working for a state government. It could be working for the federal government. But I think this public service is a cornerstone of what makes the republic strong, and it's a good thing.
I'm afraid we're out of time, Michael. Dave and I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
Paul, thank you so much. Dave, I enjoyed it.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Michael Jackson, Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Transportation. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research, and you can also get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.